Good morning. Welcome to Monday Monologues. My name is Stephen Heemstra. Today is Monday, June 15th, 2020. This morning I will talk about mercy as a path to salvation. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Merciful Father, beloved Son, ever-present Spirit, we praise you for your mercy, grace, patience, love, and faithfulness, for healing of us of our afflictions, for forgiving our sin, and for your presence in our lives. For in you we find faith, hope, and love as nowhere else. We confess that you alone are God, yet we make idols of machines, institutions, and our own pet theories. We have not followed the example of your Son, Jesus Christ, and we have set our own desires above our families, friends, and even your church. Forgive our sin, overlook our transgressions, and heal us of our iniquity, that we might again be whole and restored into your presence. We give thanks for the many blessings that you have freely given us, our families, our health, our work, and even life itself. We ask you now to bless us that we might bless others. In Jesus' precious name, amen. In Matthew 9:13, we read, "Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." Asking for mercy and offering mercy both evoke tension with God, because we prefer not to shine a light on our own sin or the sin of others. In dealing with our own sin, Jesus cites the same verse from the prophet Hosea twice after the Beatitude. "For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." This is Hosea 6:6. Pagan worship attempts to manipulate the gods with sacrifices, which today can take the form of our offerings, overt righteousness, prayers, church attendance, or XYZ actions done, not out of thanksgiving, but out of a desire to manipulate God. An important lesson on mercy shows up in the story of the Good Samaritan, when the lawyer asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" After telling the story, Jesus asked, "Which of these three do you think proved to be neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" Substituting the question, "Who proved to be a neighbor?" for the lawyer's question, "Who is my neighbor?" and eliciting the lawyer's response, "The one who showed him mercy." Notice how this story started out talking about neighborly love, but ended up talking about mercy. By turning a direct object, that is the neighbor, into a verb, to be a neighbor, Jesus redirects the lawyer's question from those who can be excluded as a neighbor to how we can become a better neighbor. Mercy is a fitting focus of the story of the Good Samaritan, because Jews hated Samaritans. The Samaritan had to overcome prejudice, that is, show mercy, in order to show love to the man left for dead. In the same way, we experience God's love through his mercy, as in this verse, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness." This is Exodus 34:6. Notice that this verse includes both mercy and love, but mercy comes first. James concludes much the same from God's attributes when he observed, "For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." This is James 2:13. Here James has restated Jesus' beatitude in the negative. It is a curse to be judged without mercy. Judgment requires truth, which, like love, follows mercy on the list of God's attributes. The link between judgment and mercy points us back to the atoning work of Christ, as the Apostle Peter observes in 1 Peter 1:3-5. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to the inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for the salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. The path to salvation through Christ is by way of his mercy." Well, that's all for today. Thanks for listening. God bless. Bye-bye.